It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. Political groups have already spent millions to influence voters choosing Wisconsin's next governor. We talked to a political reporter who's following that money and watching the strategies gubernatorial candidates and their surrogates are using on the air. Do you care how much money campaigns spend to sway voters? What about outside money? What do you think of that? And do you think those ad buys are effective? Or are you immune to their influence? 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Email us ideas at WPR.org. You can also tweet us at WPR Mornings. Again, 800-642-1234. Craig Gilbert is a political reporter and the Washington bureau chief for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Craig, welcome to the morning show.
Hey, how are you?
So who's spent the most so far in the race for governor in Wisconsin, Republicans or Democrats?
Republicans are outspending Democrats. So the Walker, Governor Walker, and the party and the groups that are allied with him or advocating for his reelection are outspending the Democratic side, including Tony Evers and his allies, by about 2-1, which is not really very surprising given Governor Walker's fundraising history and given the fact that he's a two-term incumbent and given the fact that Tony Evers is really making his first really partisan statewide campaign.
So then how much of this money is from the campaigns and political parties themselves, and how much is from outside groups?
Well, what's interesting about the Wisconsin, we've seen, you know, nationally, when you look at federal races for House and Senate and for governor, you've seen sort of an uptick in the amount, in the role that sort of independent groups or outside groups are playing. And that includes groups set up by the parties. That's partly because, you know, of changes in the campaign finance laws. These groups operate under more liberal rules than the candidates, so it's easier for them to raise money. In some cases, they don't have to disclose their donors. And so we've seen an expansion in their role. The Wisconsin race, they're playing a really big role, bigger than they have in the past and bigger on average than other races for governor around the country. In the period we looked at, which is from the day after the August 14th primary to the first week of October, it was about two-thirds of all the money spent. Again, we're just talking here about broadcast advertising, but that's the single biggest expense in most cases for campaigns. So two-thirds of the money was coming from outside groups, and it was pretty big on both sides. I mean, even though the Democrats were being outspent, they were relying heavily on a group set up by the Democratic Governors Association because Tony Evers didn't really have any money when he came out of the primary. He didn't have a lot of money in the primary. And on Scott Walker's side, you've got, you know, a lot of urgency among Republicans about his race. Scott Walker has a lot of money, but he's also in the race of his life. And so there are groups on the Republican side, both state-based groups and national groups, that have a vested interest in his reelection. So they're playing a very large role in this campaign.
Well, and Tony Evers didn't have much fundraising experience coming into this race either, did he?
No. I mean, he doesn't have a big partisan history. He's the state school superintendent. And that has implications, too, beyond just the money that's being spent. I mean, he came into this race as without much of a political identity in Wisconsin. And so that can be a precarious place for a candidate because it means that, you know, your identity, your image can really be forged in the campaign, which makes you vulnerable to all the spending that's done against you. It also means, you know, you have the ability, depending on how much money you have, to kind of create and influence the identity, the image you want to project to voters, but you're kind of like an untainted canvas for most people. And that's when ads can really have an impact. I mean, Scott Walker is kind of the opposite in the sense that everybody knows him, almost everybody has an opinion about him, people are very evenly divided about him, so it's really hard to influence opinion very much about Scott Walker. So that's why we see, you know, a lot of the advertising, even though Scott Walker's the governor, a lot of the advertising is about Tony Evers because Republicans are trying to define him negatively for voters because they know that Scott Walker, that opinion about Scott Walker is pretty entrenched.
So are we seeing anything new in this election cycle in terms of who's spending and what they're paying for?
I think one new thing is just what we've talked about, which is the the percentage of the advertising, of the broadcast ad spending by the groups is really large. And I think that's also a reflection of just the national importance of this race. I mean, it's symbolically important to people in both parties because of Scott Walker's history. You know, his recall, of course, was a big nationalized campaign. And so it would be a huge victory for Democrats to knock him off. It's very important for Republicans to defend, beyond all the normal reasons, to defend his governorship. So that's one thing. Another thing is when you look at what the advertising is about in the governor's race, it's kind of interesting because there's one issue that is sort of a central part of the message of both parties, and that's the issue of education. Now, education, it's not weird for education to play a role in races for governor. You wouldn't see it in a race for Congress or the Senate because it's not as big a federal role in education. But around the country, education shows up in about one out of every three ads for governor. But in Wisconsin, it's like 7 out of 10. And so it has played a huge role, and I think that's a reflection of the recent history of the state. Scott Walker has some vulnerabilities on education because of his education cuts, because of Act 10. He's got an argument to make about education that he's calling himself the education governor. Democrats are attacking him on the issue. He knew he'd be attacked, so he's out there defending and touting his education record. Democrats are spending a lot of money attacking his education record, and the result is it's really the only issue that both sides are talking about a lot in their ads. The rest of the issues are issues in some cases you'd expect Democrats to talk about, and they are, which is health care. They're also talking a lot about roads, which is kind of a little novel. You don't normally see lots of ads about roads in a statewide election. And Republicans are talking about Republican issues like taxes and public safety, and Scott Walker's also kind of touting his economic record in some of these ads, too.
Well, and Republicans are saying that that if Evers is elected governor, that the price of gas is going up by $1 a gallon and everybody's income tax will be increased and so forth.
Yeah, and that's a very kind of typical, traditional Republican kind of line of attack. You know, it was interesting when Scott Walker, when the primaries were over and Scott Walker knew who his Democratic opponent would be, the first big line of attack was over this case that got a lot of attention, well, that has since gotten a lot of attention, about a teacher who had viewed pornography in his email, and he was disciplined by his school district, but he wasn't fired. And so a ton of ads were aired criticizing Tony Evers for the fact that this teacher wasn't fired. Tony Evers said he couldn't fire him because of he couldn't be fired because of the way the state law was written at the time, and a lot of money was spent on those ads. It's not really clear from the polling whether those ads had much effect, because Tony Evers, they didn't really drive up Tony Evers, at least in the polling that Marquette Law School does, and they're the most regular pollster in the state. But there is some evidence that this sort of new line of attack in recent weeks that you just mentioned, which is he's going to raise your taxes and undo everything I've done. There's some evidence that might be having an effect in the Marquette poll. Tony Evers' negatives have gone up more than his positives in the last month. So the polling is a little conflicted on the race and on Tony Evers, because you've got a poll by NBC and Marist painting a rosier picture for Democrats, and you've got the Marquette poll, which sort of portrays the race as a dead heat, and again as Tony Evers' negatives rising to some degree. And this is a big part of the dynamic in the closing weeks of the election, because again, opinion about Scott Walker is really entrenched, but what do people know and what do people think about Tony Evers? And that's what a lot of the ad wars are about.
Now, I guess the interesting thing about this is that argument over taxes is that whoever's governor, the legislature is quite likely to be remain in Republican hands. And I'm just wondering if they expect if it is Governor Evers, how he would manage to get people's taxes increased. But that wouldn't fit in a 30-second campaign ad. So what does spending look like in various regions of Wisconsin? Where are the Democrats spending more, and what about Republicans?
Yeah, I mean, there aren't sort of very dramatic differences. In the governor's race, the Democrats are most competitive in spending. In other words, their spending disadvantage is smaller in the two big markets of Milwaukee and Green Bay. I mean, they're spending, you know, like 70% of their ad money, at least on broadcast television, in those two markets. That's where about 60% of the state's voters are. And then in the smaller markets, you've got some markets where Republicans have a bigger advantage. They have a bigger advantage in the western market of La Crosse and in Wausau. La Crosse is a really swingy market that's very key to this race because those voters in western Wisconsin, you know, a lot of them swung from Obama to Trump. They've swung back and forth with respect to Walker. Wausau in central and northern Wisconsin is a more Republican market, includes a lot of rural voters. You know, usually when one side has more money than the other, they have the luxury of spreading that spending around geographically, and that's what you see Governor Walker doing. We haven't talked as much about the U.S. Senate race, but there is a Democratic spending advantage in that race.
Okay, and I want to come back to that because you're going to stay with us, and we'll have a lot more to talk about. Craig Gilbert stays with us. He's a political reporter and the Washington Bureau Chief for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. You can weigh in at 800-642-1234. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm John Munson. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. We're talking about midterm election campaign spending in Wisconsin and wondering what you think about it. Who's winning the political ad war in the race for governor? And which candidate do you think has the more convincing message? What about the spending ahead of the election by outside groups? Do you draw the line or some sort of line between candidate donations and big money from outside groups? Are those two things different or is it just all the same? 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, ideas@WPR.org, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Craig Gilbert is a political reporter and the Washington Bureau Chief for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We have a caller who has called to join the program. Abby is with us from Eau Claire. Abby, good morning. Welcome to the morning show.
Morning. Thank you very much.
Go ahead.
All right. I'm calling to say that I feel our current campaign finance law undermines our democracy. We only get to see candidates who are backed by large sums, and we should start by repealing Citizens United, regulating campaign finance to level the playing field. And I do think that the political advertising should be outlawed maybe a few months before the election, somewhat like it is in France.
Abby, thanks for the call. Craig Gilbert?
Yeah, so, I mean, there are pretty large legal obstacles to making those kinds of changes in campaign finance law based on how the Supreme Court has ruled and what they've said about the limits of regulating campaign speech. In terms of the trends and sort of, I mean, there's a couple of different things going on. There has been a lot of deregulation. The rules are looser now than they were. Republicans make the argument that some campaign finance reforms have had the unintended consequence of empowering groups by limiting the parties, and so giving the sort of political actors, the responsible political actors, less control over their own message. Democrats have argued that there needs to be a lot more disclosure and more campaign finance restrictions. So you've got cross currents where, on the one hand, it's kind of like the Wild Wild West. There's a lot more, it's a lot much less regulated environment. At the same time, you know, technology and the internet has given certain kinds of candidates the ability to raise money much more efficiently from small donors than they have in the past. So there's sort of there's that avenue, you know, that didn't exist before for certain kinds of candidates. And we saw it with Bernie Sanders. We first saw it with Howard Dean back in the 2004 campaign. So all the arrows aren't pointing in just one direction. I mean, it's a complicated landscape. And it's also the fact that it's complicated is another issue in and of itself, because most people don't really understand the campaign laws. It's very opaque. And disclosure is certainly a huge issue because in many cases these groups don't have to disclose the source of their funders.
Well, given the that the legislature has made it legal for campaigns to coordinate with outside groups, do we have any idea how much of this kind of coordination is taking place?
No, like I said, I mean, it's really hard to penetrate some of this stuff. It's not a transparent system. And especially for viewers and voters who are seeing this stuff on their TV ads, and they're seeing sort of names of organizations that are identifying themselves as the sponsors of the ads, and national groups will localize their names, and they'll throw Wisconsin in there to make it sound like a local group, or they'll just, people come up with the most benign sounding names, which don't really tell you anything about who's sponsoring the ads, much less, who their donors are.
Well, it might not seem like a campaign topic, but are any of the candidates for Wisconsin office talking about solving the money in politics problem?
Well, I think you certainly hear some Democrats talking about it, but it's not and sometimes, certainly in national campaigns, we've seen it a point of emphasis for some candidates. And even in Wisconsin, I mean, you remember Russ Feingold was obviously a huge advocate and a co-author of a major campaign finance law. So there are some Democrats who do talk about it, but generally, I mean, it's not seen as a kind of a bread and butter issue for most voters. It's kind of a reform issue, which probably has more currency in, for example, a Democratic primary. But in terms of a general election, you're not going to see, major ad campaigns built around that issue typically.
We just had the Green Party candidate for lieutenant governor on just before we spoke to you, and that is one of the Green Party's issues is money, getting money out of politics, and that's certainly something they're talking about. But then you don't see a lot of Green Party television advertising either. Before the news, you mentioned spending and ads and the U.S. Senate race. How does that differ from what we're seeing in the race for governor?
Well, the big difference is there's not as much money being spent. In this period we looked at, there was about $14 million in broadcast ads in the race for governor and about $6 million in broadcast ads for the race for U.S. Senate. That tells you a couple of things. I mean, it tells you that the race is not as nationally targeted as the governor's race. Now, Tammy Baldwin was the subject of a lot of early spending by outside groups on the Republican side, but she's kind of weathered that storm, if you believe the polling. And so you're not seeing as much outside activity in the Senate race, certainly not as much outside activity overall as in the governor's race. In fact, they're really, the Democratic groups are barely involved in Tammy Baldwin's race because they're pretty confident about the way things are going. And she's raised a lot of money. So almost all the spending on the Democratic side has been from her, with the exception of one group called Vote Vets. On the Republican side, Leah Vuckmer had to go through a competitive primary against a very well-funded opponent, Kevin Nicholson, and she didn't have much money, and she's a state legislator, so she doesn't have a perch from which to raise a ton of money. And so outside groups have come in and actually spent more money on her behalf than she spent on her own, but that's still not enough. They haven't come in a big enough way to offset the Democratic spending advantage since August. And again, there are so many Senate races around the country that you see these groups on the outside who want the Republicans to retain their Senate majority are making kind of triage decisions about which races are the easiest ones or the most plausible ones for them to win. Her race has not been prioritized by those groups the same way you see in some other states. I mean, there's Democratic incumbents like Tammy Baldwin, but who are running for re-election in much more conservative states, and they are bigger targets right now.
Well, State Senator Vuckmer had the additional problem of in her primary battle, that was really negative, and there was a lot of money spent against her in that.
Yeah.
So she had to spend some money kind of right off the bat trying to repair that damage. How successful do you think that her campaign has been here?
I think it's been a rocky road for her. Again, all we have to go on is the polling. Well, we have more than the polling to go on. We have it's not just the polling that tells you the state of the race. It's also the behavior of groups on the outside. And what I just mentioned is sort of a barometer of that. But also in the polling, her numbers have been kind of fell into negative territory after the primaries, and they've been there since. She did take some hits during the primary. I mean, Kevin Nicholson ran as sort of an outsider and painted her in the Republican primary as kind of an establishment Republican, and he ran an ad at one point saying, you know, reprising criticism she had made of Donald Trump during the 2016 primary. And so she kind of got it from that direction during the primary, and now she's being attacked from the left, particularly on health care. We've talked about what the ads are about. They're overwhelmingly about health care on the Democratic side in races for House and Senate, and that's very true of this race, of the U.S. Senate race in Wisconsin, where Tammy Baldwin's been blasting away at her over her position on health care and basically making the argument that she would support, you know, eroding the guarantees and protections when it comes to health care coverage. So she's been hit by that, and she doesn't, again, she's not well-funded, so she doesn't have as much money to sort of fight back, and so she's at a disadvantage there, and her numbers have not been great.
We are talking with Craig Gilbert, political reporter and Washington bureau chief for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. 800-642-1234. What do you think about campaign spending in the race for governor, the race for Senate, or just in kind of general terms? Does it affect you? How do you look at all of this barrage of political advertising? And maybe you're living in a part of the state that doesn't get a lot of TV ads, so you're going, what barrage? But if you are in one of those markets where you're getting a ton of this stuff, what do you think about it? Let's take a quick call from Dawn, who joins us from Superior. Dawn, thanks for joining us on the morning show. Go ahead.
Yes. I had a daughter that was in office in when she ran for re-election. I did doors and talked to a lot of people. People came and gave me the conclusion that they didn't want to hear the truth, that they're already set in their minds what they had heard on television in the slant ads that were used against her that were ridiculously crazy untrue. And they didn't want to hear the truth. It's amazing. You know, I would do doors and they'd say, well, she's for abortion. And I said, if she's for abortion, then why has she got daughters? You know, people can't relate to what's going on anymore. So I hope the false advertisement gets stopped.
All right, and we're just about at time to take a break, so we're going to hold off, Craig, and we'll get your response to Don's call after we take a break. Craig Gilbert is political reporter and the Washington bureau chief for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And this is the morning show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. Well over $20 million has been spent on broadcast TV ads in the contest for U.S. Senate and governor in Wisconsin since August. More than 40,000 campaign spots have aired. Most of them have been negative. So who do you think is winning the political ad war in the race for Wisconsin governor, for Senate? And why do you think one set of messages is more convincing than the other, if you do? What do you think about the spending ahead of the election? 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Craig Gilbert is a political reporter and the Washington bureau chief for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Craig, our caller just before the break was part of his point was that, you know, people have kind of set their opinions anyway. And when you talk to them, it doesn't seem to make any difference. So what's all this advertising accomplishing anyway? Who is it really aimed at? Who hasn't made a decision yet?
Well, I mean, there's all kinds of advertising being done beyond just the kind we're talking about. I mean, there's, you know, people, when you talk about cable ads, radio ads, digital ads, mailings, a lot of those other forms of advertising are more kind of individually targeted. They're harder to sort of track from the outside, but they're more tailored to individual audiences. Sometimes they're very narrow-casted in some cases. Broadcast advertising is sort of like the big, broad, mass audience tool. And so it's what you're really trying, who you're really trying to reach with those ads are the voters that haven't made up their mind, even if there aren't very many of them. So it's just innately a very cost-ineffective way to communicate with people, but it's something that the campaigns just aren't willing to give up on, even though the demise of the broadcast television ad has been predicted now for years. They're still spending a lot of money because they're, you know, that's the way to reach, you know, most of the voters of that shrinking pool, in that shrinking pool of undecided and swing voters. But it's very hard to know and tell whether it's having any effect, because these effects to begin with are really on the margins. And of course, you know, a small movement can make a difference on the margins in a really close race. This race for governor could be a really close race. So it could be a race where these ads matter, where the campaigns themselves matter, even if they're not really moving and influencing a lot of voters, even if they're not changing a lot of minds. They may be mobilizing some voters to get out to vote, and they may be influencing the way some people vote. But it's, again, it's on the margins, and it's that small pool of people that are not actively seeking out political information, but they're seeing it across their television sets, and they may be influenced by it.
Well, you mentioned mobilizing your voters to get out. By contrast, could some of the point here be to convince other people not to go vote? People tend to get really sometimes discouraged by all the negative campaigning and just say, oh, the heck with it, they're all crooks.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to really, I mean, it would be really hard to measure that. I think that, and it's also kind of a, it would be kind of a very indirect way of, you know, influencing the election. I mean, this stuff is not, it's not so scientific that you can kind of construct an advertising campaign in order to sort of drive down the turnout on the other side, yet drive up the turnout on your side. But, you know, if you're attacking the opponent on the other side, and that causes some people who might be leaning toward that party to have second thoughts about that candidate, then yeah, that would be an obvious purpose of these kinds of ads.
We have another caller. Wanda joins us from Orfordville this morning. Wanda, welcome. Go ahead.
Oh, good morning. Has anybody thought about how to take out major money out of the campaign scene and require all media, TV, radio, whoever it takes paid announcements to devote just a certain amount of time to each candidate, and that's that. And anything else that they do, they're on their own hook. But it takes out the major, major money part of it. What do you think?
Wanda, thanks for the call. Craig Gilbert?
Yeah, I mean, it's, again, politically, those kinds of reforms are really hard, and constitutionally and legally, they're pretty impossible. So, it's probably not going to happen without, you know, major political changes, and also it would probably require a different Supreme Court. And even then, there would be a limit to how you can sort of regulate these campaigns. I mean, it's certainly done in other countries, but in our system, it's pretty hard to do because we just have a tradition of looser rules when it comes to this stuff. And of course, you know, what one person thinks is a good system and a great set of reforms, another person might take issue with. So it's not even a clear-cut case, I think, on the merits exactly how you would construct a system if you had the power to do it.
How does spending on the Wisconsin gubernatorial race compare to other gubernatorial races around the country?
It's at, on the upper end. I don't think it's the most expensive, but it is, you know, certainly one of the more expensive races. It's one of the more negative races, but not the most negative. And again, it's does stand out in terms of the percentage of advertising that's being done by outside groups. But obviously, in bigger states, you're going to see more money being spent.
Well, sure. Which outside groups have spent the most in Wisconsin?
Well, on the Democratic side, there's a group which was basically set up by the Democratic Governors Association, and that name sort of speaks for itself. And that they were the group that came in and carried most of the weight for Tony Evers after he came out of the primary without really very much money. On the Republican side, it's been a bunch of different groups. There's the ART Republican Governors Association, which, again, that name speaks for itself. And there's also groups like the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, which is a longtime player in state politics on the Republican side, state-based business lobby that spends a lot of money on politics.
And they're not just spending money on television. There's a lot of direct mail here. Americans for Prosperity regularly.
So if you start talking about other kinds of campaign activity, you're bringing in a lot of different sources, a lot of different organizations. The parties are doing it. The candidates are doing it. The other groups are doing it. A lot of issue, you know, again, niche groups that have interest in a particular issue, whether it's the environment, whether it's taxes, immigration, you name it, they're going to all have their own lists, their voter lists of voters that they think will be responsive. The gun groups, I mean, they will be responsive on their issues, and they're going to communicate with their audience on those issues. These aren't groups that are trying to talk to everybody. They're trying to talk to their core groups that care about that issue. And a lot of that is just mobilization. It's just making sure that those people turn out to vote.
We've got just a minute left, Craig, but what's the over-under, I think, where I'm getting at here? What's the over-under on how much more money will spend between now and the election?
Well, you know, at a certain point, these numbers kind of lose their meaning. I mean, that $20 million figure really understates, again, talking about broadcast TV spending between mid-August and early October, really understates the overall amount of spending because it leaves out cable TV, it leaves out radio, it leaves out digital, it leaves out non-advertising activity by the campaign. So in the end, it's a lot more than that. And obviously, there's a ramp up as we get closer to the election on television as well. So you're just going to see, people, they know they're throwing good money after bad at worst, or just, you know, getting, you know, very little bang for their buck at best. But they've got the money and they want to leave no stone unturned and take no chances. And some of these elections have been very close. We've had three incredibly close presidential decisions in Wisconsin in the last five presidential elections. And this, the governor's race looks like a very close race.
Okay. Craig, thank you very much for joining us this morning. Appreciate it.
Happy to be with you.
Craig Gilbert is a political reporter and the Washington bureau chief for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I'm John Munson. It's the morning show. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.